Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo, macht Tempo, wartet auf Harte. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Hello and welcome to the first edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast for season 2021-22. The break is short. The Euros concluded just a few weeks ago. Well done, Italy. But we're here to talk about a hotly contested football league that is going to have all sorts of unpredictability. And let's be honest, I don't think anyone has any idea who will take promotion this season. We are very excited to bring you another season of Zweite Bundesliga football. I'm Matthew Karagic, one of your co-hosts, and alongside me, as always, to discuss everything about the league, back for another season, of course, is the wonderful Eva Lotta Baller. Eva, welcome. How are you? It has been, of course, a rather short break. What have you been up to?
Funny you should say that, because when you asked me like a week ago, when should we do the preview, I was like, yeah, we have time. And then, no. It starts this weekend. We don't have time. So I wasn't really ready for that because, of course, Olympia starts as well now. And while a lot of Zweite Bundesliga players weren't allowed to go or are not going, a couple of Bundesliga players will play for the Germany team in Tokyo. So a lot of football at the weirdly same time, because I think kickoff in Tokyo for the games is 12:30 German time. So then see what you want to watch, Germany or Zweite Bundesliga football. I have a recommendation is watching Zweite Bundesliga football, because it's much cooler, to be honest. I'm just back from a week of vacation. That was really nice. But I'm really looking forward to start off this new season with you. And of course, it starts off with your favorite team.
Yeah, it's a perfect segue into what is going to be and has been considered one of the biggest seasons in the Zweite Bundesliga history. And it starts on Friday night at the Veltins Arena, FC Schalke 04 against Hamburger SV. Two of the biggest names in German football going head-to-head in the Zweite Bundesliga. We should go without saying that we'll start with the Royal Blues, who were relegated for the first time since 1990 to the Zweite Bundesliga. Manager will be Dimitrios Gramotsis. He's been given the opportunity to restart a Schalke resurgence. They've been very, very busy in the window. Their biggest signing in terms of a fee, Marius Bulter from Union Berlin, the left winger who has shown at this level he is a very capable player. The big name is Simon Terodde. On a free from Hamburger SV, it is ironic he'll get a crack at his former club first up. Eva, it's an interesting window that Schalke have had. They've had a busy pre-season. And not only that, heading into this game, it is all very Schalke that there would be some sort of drama. Keeper Ralf Fährmann testing positive for COVID-19. He won't be playing this Friday. So Schalke don't actually have a first-choice goalkeeper to start with. It looks like, at the moment, Michael Langer will start in goal on Friday night.
Yeah, first of all the best for Fährmann. Hopefully he gets on his feet quite quickly. You can see that COVID is far from over. We still, although fans are returning, this is probably one of the biggest needs we have. That we will see around 50% of the stadiums being filled in some places more or less, because I think the maximum is still 25,000, if I'm correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That being allowed in, as well as from the third match day on, there are being away fans allowed back in the stadium, but only around 5%. But we will see some weird sort of normality, although with the the numbers are still rising, of course, with the Delta variant being all over Germany and all over Europe. We've seen that in the Euro still very picture from time to time, for me at least. For Schalke, I mean, I'm quite confident with their signings. It's not official yet, but at least in the last couple of days, there were talks that Dominik Drexler is supposed to make the move to Schalke as well. So a player that isn't being, wasn't really successful with Köln in the Bundesliga, but he definitely knows the Zweite Liga. So that wouldn't be such a bad signing. I know that a couple of fans were a bit disappointed because, you don't have what was from time to time being said that you have a lot of young players. But of course, I can understand if that's not your first priority because Schalke can't really afford to be in the Zweite Bundesliga for more than a year or two, probably. And compared to the other relegated sides, we will talk about them later. I see them with a couple of better chances to actually fulfill parts of their, what they want to do. But still, it's always very difficult after relegation and after such a big break and changes that are happening in the club to form a team, because we all know what happened at Schalke throughout the last couple of 12 to 15 months. So yeah, that's going to be Kramotz's biggest task, although he's probably a good one to lead that team in the Zweite Liga because he knows it as well, different, for example, from other coaches. So yeah, that's a good signing there.
Yeah, it is probably one of the toughest tasks that Kramotz has, knowing the pressure that has come from top level, even though there has, I think around the fan base, there's a tempered reservation that, yes, we need to get promoted, but is it realistic at this time? They've made some interesting signings. Danny Latzer coming back to Schalke. He's going to be the club captain. Viktor Paulsen, Marcin Kaminski, all players who have had Zweite Bundesliga experience. Then you look at some of the academy players that have been given a contract, Florian Flick, Benendi Idrissi as well. Flick is someone I was impressed with, and Idrissi's energy was something that was noticeable when he was given the opportunity to play. So, you hope that Kramotzis does stick true in, I understand we need to get, the Schalke need to get promoted, but, developing the likes of Flick and Idrissi, who are both, 21, 23, respectively, very important to integrate those types of players, not to mention Marvin Peringer as well, who was at Würzburg last season. He's also on loan for additional attacking depth. Let's talk Hamburg. Whew. It's Groundhog Day. Once again, we've hit the reset button and they are going to try again at promotion. Tim Walter is the man in charge. He replaces Daniel Thune, who started. Horst Hrubesch ended the season. But yes, Tim Walter is the man in charge. Very astute decisions with the transfer window. The notable signings, Robert Glatzel, who was at Mainz for the end of last season. Jonas Meffert, who is at Kiel. Sebastian Schonlo from Paderborn, he is the new club captain. And 21-year-old Ludovic Reitz, who was at Osnabrück all of last season, he signs on a free from Barcelona B. Now the pressure is on again. I feel like we've lived this many times now, doing the podcast and watching the Zweite Bundesliga. The question is this the year that Hamburg can get out of the Zweite Bundesliga?
I have to say yes now, because if you, I don't know when you're going to publish that prediction table, as always, they're actually winning the league for me. Please, no hate. I didn't know who to put first else, so it was hard as well for me. They're going to be fourth. We know that. But yeah, for me, just in comparison to all the other teams, I don't think we have Kiel last season, a Bochum last season, a Fürth last season, maybe an Union Berlin, an Arminia Bielefeld, and all those clubs. We don't really have that compared to this year, at least in my opinion. The only other team that would be in that position is Heidenheim for me, especially because Tim Kleindienst is back, if I'm correct here. They're the only other team, but I kind of have the feeling that for HSV, it's really important that both Bremen and Schalke are in the league because the pressure is on them. And other compared, I know we had that situation as well with Stuttgart and Hannover and Nuremberg, of course, but I think this is like compared to all the other teams that might be pushing for promotion, HSV has the best chances for me, especially compared to Schalke and Bremen, because although they have a new manager again, and Tim Walter doesn't have the best, track record when it comes to managing big sides, e.g. Stuttgart, I have the feeling they can work in, because they already, like, all of Hamburg is kind of like, we're going to be fourth, so now we have the opportunity to actually do something here, but I might be very wrong as well. It's still possible, but yeah, I just have not a particular good feeling, but I have an okay feeling, and I didn't have that the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's a weird one with Hamburg, because we've experienced it three times now, and it doesn't feel like there's much on the change. But, you know, some of the players they've lost have been at the club for quite some time. Rick van Drongelen, Gideon Jung, Khalid Narai. You know, not huge losses. I guess van Drongelen is because he is 22. That's a big one. But he was, you know, hurt for a good portion of the last season. And then you look, Sven Ulreich leaving didn't really make a huge impression in Hamburg. And then Tirota had 24 goals. But, you know, there were stretches where it definitely felt as if he was completely anonymous on the pitch. We will see with Hamburg. I think I have them finishing fourth on my table. But I know, prove me wrong, Hamburg. This is the time to prove us wrong. And it's fitting that we are going to see a Nord Derby. Again, the Nord Derby. Werder Bremen is the next team we're going to preview. They take on Hanover. That is the Saturday night kickoff. Of course, there are no Monday games anymore. Very much a good thing to have. They have a new coach, and that is Marcus Anfang, who they bring in from Darmstadt. And they haven't done a whole lot during this window, mainly bringing in defenders. Two of them have played under Anfang at Darmstadt, Nikolai Rapp and Lars Lucas Meyer, who they brought in on loan. Anthony Jung can bring a bit of diversity, can play left back and centre back. And then Kyu-Yun Park from Ulsan Hyundai is also a rather talented Korean left back who may get an opportunity this season. Despite the fact that Bremen have had a relatively quiet summer, and it's fair to say that certain Bremen fans are a bit annoyed that there hasn't been enough movement in terms of players coming in. The expectation is definitely promotion with them, and they still have most of that same squad that was relegated last season.
Yeah, as mentioned before, I do worry a bit about Bremen. As a Bremen fan, I wouldn't be very happy what has been done so far. I mean, of course, Bittencourt will miss the start of the season after one of the two friendlies against Feyenoord. He has some kind of injury to the knee. And yeah, I mean, the problem with Bremen is, I mean, they finally sold Rashica, which was long due. I mean, he should have been sold like 1.5 seasons ago or something like that. Bremen definitely needs the money. But yeah, I don't really know where they want to go with their signings. I know that I think Baumann said that in 3 weeks, like he said that at some point, I think at the beginning of this week or last week and so. In three weeks, the squad will be complete. And it's like, you do know the league starts like on Saturday for you guys. So I don't really know if they in some ways underestimate how important the beginning of a season can be, which would be kind of stupid. I don't want to like be very pessimistic about this, but yeah, I don't know what is going to happen. I mean, of course, Zeg left to Hertha again and all of that, but yeah, I don't know what they want to do up front as well. It's a bit weird.
I mean, the Selke situation is quite funny because, yeah, they got relegated, but they would be more than happy to not have him at the price point that they would have had to pay for him. And it's been a string of really questionable moves by Frank Baumann, sporting director, that has led, you know, Bremen down this situation. I mean, the question for them is, you talk about their attack, they still have Niklas Füllkrug, who, when healthy, is quite a valuable asset. Who knows what's going to happen with Josh Sargent? Johannes Eggestein comes back from his loan spell at LASK. They do have options, but obviously the individual quality that we kind of expect from them has, in some regards, not disappeared, but it's just not as potent as you'd expect. They do have a lot of depth in areas, but the question is, what does their team look like on match day one? I'm not entirely sure Marcus Anfang will know either until he has to pick his teams against Hanover, who, after a very, very disappointing season, they will look to be on the up with new manager Jan Zimmermann. Jan Zimmermann led TSV Havelse to the Dritte Liga, but this will be his biggest test yet. They've lost some pretty big names during this window, notably Genki Haraguchi to Union Berlin and defender Timo Hubers to FC Köln. Interesting, and this is the quirk. This is not, they're one of two teams that have this weird quirk that three of their signings start with the name Sebastian. Sebastian Kirk, Sebastian Stolzer, and Sebastian Ernst. All three are midfield players and they will look to make an impact with, you know, last season very much being a rather forgettable one for the team in the north. Eva, we know how bad Hanover were last season, and it got to a point where you really, you know, you didn't see the direction they were going. They lose a few players as well. Mikael Essay is the other one, the goalkeeper. He goes to Bochum. A lot of uncertainty with Hanover heading into this season, and it's going to be an interesting test, especially to play a good side like Bremen first up.
Yeah, I mean, just to start this off, I saw something this morning in one of the newspapers here in Hanover. They always have like a question of the day, and the question was what the Hanover fans are expecting of Hanover this season. And I quickly want to tell you what the results are. 53.3% say they're going to end up midfield. 42.2% say they're going to fight for against relegation, and only 4.5 say they have the chance to get promoted. So just from that outlet, Hanover fans aren't really optimistic about this new season. It's understandable in some ways, although we haven't seen anything besides the friendlies from Hanover yet under Jan Zimmermann. I think, yeah, the problem is with them, that especially with someone like Martin Kind, you always have to fear rash decisions at all, like what we had with a couple of players as well as managers last season and the season before. Yeah, I mean, they're, especially in the club, they will be expected to be better, of course, but I'm not overly confident they will be. It's very difficult for me to actually put them in one place. I had to do it, but it's kind of difficult. As you've mentioned, especially Haraguchi will be missed. There is still talk whether they're going to sign someone in the back. I know that Julian Berner is still in the talks to go to Hanover. But yeah, kind of similar to last season. I don't really know where to put them. I don't see them in the top five like I put them last season, I think. I see them more midfield, like half of the Hanover fans too as well.
Well, they're definitely not going to be top like some silly co-host had them last season. But yeah, they're very hard to predict where they will finish. They also signed Yannick Diem, I forgot to mention him, from Holstein Kiel, another free signing. So yeah, it's a mystery where to put Hanover. And I think once we compile our tables, which we'll release Thursday, the day before, the eve of the start of the season, it won't be as clear as we think it is. It's really tight. Because there are so many teams that could make an impression, like a certain team did last season in 2021, and that was St. Pauli. Timo Schulz led a resurgence after what was a very, very, very rakish start at the start of his tenure. But he will be hoping that he can push like they did early in the calendar year. They've made a lot of moves in the window. Notably, they retained Eric Smith, who was on loan from Ghent, but they also brought in Etienne Amanyido, Jakov Medic, Lars Ritzka, Nikola Vasilj, the goalkeeper from the Ukraine, and probably my personal favourite is Jackson Irvine from Hibs in the Scottish Premiership. He has a wealth of experience playing in the Championship in England, and he's one of three Australians who will be playing in the Zweite Bundesliga this season, which is great for me. So, Eva, let's make a case for St. Pauli. Could they be, I guess, not a smoky, because I don't think either of us genuinely think they could be a top three side, but could they be a team that maybe cracks the top six?
To be honest, I don't really think so. At some stage last season, I thought, well, they won't get promoted this season, but maybe next season if they can keep the squad. And obviously that isn't the case. And I do miss, although I haven't seen much, obviously, from that team yet. I miss players like Salazar in this new team. I don't really think they're going to be somewhere in the top five or six, maybe around midfield is where I put them, with a chance to kind of be a bit better, but also with both actually. So yeah, and it's difficult for me. I can't really say a lot about them.
Yeah, it is going to be a mystery. What with St. Pauli, and I think that's, as you'll probably find throughout this preview, that it is going to be a mixed bag with how teams can perform, and it's close. It's going to be a very close season, and St. Pauli could upset the apple cart, but I'm not entirely convinced about their squad depth. And some of the, you know, can Guido Burgstaller continue the form he had last season? You know, Eva, you mentioned Salazar, but also Omar Mamouche as well, had an impact on loan from Wolfsburg. So can their new signings integrate quicker than some of them did last season? We will have to wait and see. Let's also talk about Holstein Kiel. Of course, they were beaten in the relegation playoff at the hands of FC Köln. Change, not so much. They lose some pretty big name players, though. Lee Jae-sung to Mainz, Yanni Serra, which we already knew, going to Bielefeld, but they also lost Jonas Meffert, who is a big name loss for them. He played in the heart of that midfield with Alexander Mühling. Their new signings, though, are quite fascinating, really. Patrick Eras from Werder Bremen, Steven Skripski on a free from Schalke, Marcel Benger, the defensive midfielder from Gladbach Zwei, Holmbert Aron Frinjonsson, the Icelandic centre forward from Brescia, and a return to the Zweite Bundesliga for Jan Fiete Arp, who had a pretty anonymous season last year in the Dritte Liga. Of course, we know him from his exploits from Hamburg. This is very much a loan stint to resurrect his career, and Eva, it's fair to say that they will need him to hit the ground running from match day one.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, Kiel is always a side that surprises me when I think they're, they have that many changes that it's nearly impossible for them to somehow copy what they did last season. To start off, I don't think they will be third again, but I do think they're one of the teams that might surprise us at some stage. Again, because I really like what Ole Werner is always, makes of the team he's been given or he's worked on to build. So although the as you've mentioned just a couple of minutes or seconds ago, the players that left up are big names, especially for Kiel. But I do like their signings. I think it fits to the agenda they have. And for example, compared to St. Pauli, I see them with a bit better chances.
Yeah, I think they could be in the mix for that top six, but I'm not entirely sure that the replacements are good. But it is going to be interesting. I'm not really entirely sure where I would put them in the top six. Maybe P6. But I like their window. It's really hard to lose the likes of Lee and Sarah, especially when you lose them on a free, as well as Jonas Meffert. They can replace Meffert, but I feel like Lee and Sarah in particular quite hard to replace. You know, Skribski is another player who probably went to Schalke at the wrong time, and he really struggled to get game time. So, you know, he has a point to prove. So I think the best thing to describe about Kiel is, especially with their signings, a lot of these guys have a point to prove, and this is their opportunity to do so. So it will be interesting to see if this Kiel team can avoid a trend, which is teams who lose in the playoffs have a bit of a down year, or they can be amongst it once again. Let's take our first break, and on the other side, we'll continue to break down our season preview, and we're going to start with the promoted team, Hansa Rostock, when they host Karlsruhe. It's been nearly 10 seasons since Hansa Rostock tasted second division football, but they are back after gaining promotion from the Dritte Liga last season. They are managed by Jens Hartel. Many may remember his managerial time at Magdeburg. He led them to the Zweite Bundesliga as well. Big question marks about them. Amongst the many other teams, really, can they avoid what so many had previously as a promoted side? Last season, we saw Würzburger Kickers and Eintracht Braunschweig both relegated after gaining promotion. VfL Wiesbaden also had the same fate. They've had an interesting window. It's been about bringing in experience. Rich Munsi, Kalogeri Ritsuto, Hanno Behrens, all coming in on free transfers. Behrens, probably the biggest name of the lot. They also brought in Thomas Meissner from Puskas in Hungary, Ryan Malone, the American centre-back from Lübeck, and Svante Ingelsson from Udinese, but he has been at Paderborn recently. They might be one of the favourites to go down. We look at them. You know, what we will get from Hansa, even if there is probably the likelihood they may go down, although it's very obviously very early to tell, is that when fans are allowed in the stadium, the Osterstadion is a difficult, difficult place. Just ask any Stuttgart fan who had the nightmare of having to draw them what felt like every year in the first round. It will be interesting. I think, you know, they've had a friendly win against Wolfsburg. You know, Wolfsburg's problems are hilarious, but, you know, we won't talk about them. But, I like what they've done in terms of their transfers. They've made some astute signings. You know, Kevin Schumacher from Havelsee is, you know, adds depth, and they have options. But, yeah, they definitely have their backs against the walls to start with. I think Jens Hartel wants to at least see out a season. He didn't get to do that with Magdeburg, so it will be interesting. Their opponents are Karlsruhe, who had a very good season last season, and Eva, there is definitely cause for optimism with Karlsruhe after an impressive campaign last time out.
Yeah, I fully agree with you there. And I mean, they're biggest advantage is probably that they didn't use any big key players, I would say. I mean, the caster Philipp Hoffmann is still out and in the open. We don't really know what will happen to him. But yeah, I mean, I do like what they have done last season. They brought in mainly young players from their own U19, but also from a couple of third league divisions and so that's that's okay for me, I would say. I mean, they didn't really need to change a lot of things. I don't see them as being as successful as last season, but I still see them performing quite well compared to other teams in that mix. So not a lot to say here, because there haven't been a lot of changes as mentioned, but that's casual for me, solid side.
Yeah, I do like them bringing back Filip Hisa from Norwich. He was quite good at left back, but also, you know, Fabio Kaufmann from Braunschweig had a pretty impressive season despite the relegation. So they've got an interesting team. You know, they will be in the mix. Always the talk about Philipp Hoffmann, it never ends, but unless a Bundesliga team comes to get him, he'll most likely stay once again, and he will be a very, very pivotal cog in that Karlsruhe side. Let's move on to Heidenheim and Paderborn. Heidenheim last season finishing in the top half. It started rather slowly, but they did get there, you know, get it together when Tim Kleindienst made a return. He does return to Heidenheim. €3.5 million is the fee for the 25-year-old striker. They also bring in Tim Seisleben, and from their academy, Tim Seifert. There you go, the three Tims. Much like the Sebastians of Hanover, they've got the Tims. Out go Mark Schnatterer, who is heading off to Waldhof Mannheim. Maxi Thieler to Wiesbaden, Oliver Steurer to Duisburg. They are the main outgoings for them. And last season was quite inconsistent. Understandably, we know how difficult it is for teams who have missed out on the playoffs, in the playoffs, as they did the previous campaign, where they were beaten on away goals to Bremen. They'll get a bit of retribution this season twice, and you know that they will want to take it. I like this squad. It's very similar to last. They, you know, we get to see Dennis Burnich, who missed quite a bit of the season with injury. And, you know, they are still the well-oiled machine coached by Frank Schmidt. So there's no real kind of worries in the way that they're going. It's just a question of whether, you know, can they recuperate that same magic that they had, which led them to third in the Zweite Bundesliga? You know, we don't really know. But yeah, I like what they're doing, and I think, you know, they lose a bit of experience. They bring some younger players in. They haven't, you know, spent beyond their means. Obviously, Kleindienst is a rather expensive get for a team with their budget, but he provides a lot of goals, and I would be expecting him to at least getting 15 plus and leading Heidenheim to a position of respectability. Their opponents will be FC Paderborn. No Stefan Baumgart. Lukas Kwasniok comes in. He was the manager of Saarbrücken last season. They have had a lot of change during this window. Chris Furyk was the one that everyone was talking about. He was bought on a cheap and then sold for profit, €3 million in the end. Eva, there's a lot of uncertainty around this Paderborn side. There is a lot of change. They've brought in a lot of players on a free. I don't think anyone really knows where their yardstick is. But that being said, I can't envision they will have a comfortable, even if it was topsy-turvy last season, middle of the table type finish.
Yeah, I do worry about them a bit, because you just mentioned Chris Führich, but they lost a couple of other players as well. And I don't really know if that's not a bit too much change with a new manager coming in. I do not have anything against Lukas Kwasniok in that matter, but I do think he's a good coach. But I don't know if it's just a bit too quick for him to coach a Zweite Bundesliga side that is in that much, in that group of teams that goes through a lot of changes at the beginning of the season. I don't think they will be relegated, but I do think they will have problems staying in the league. Excuse me. Especially with players like Führich leaving, there's some sort of creativity and leadership maybe as well missing from that team. And it's going to be interesting to see where the road will take them and lead them. But I do worry about them a bit.
Yeah, I think we've already harped on it a bit, but it is that uncertainty of where they're going. And you look at some of the players they've lost, you know, Atui Ajayi, Vasiliadis, Shonlo, who we've already touched on. And then you look at the players they've brought in and, you know, okay, we need to be realistic. Not a lot of them are going to scream off the plate, but they've, you know, they're taking a flyer on Felix Platter, who's really, it's probably one move away from being, you know, into that Dritte Liga fourth division type. He really needs to get some consistency. You know, Felix Platter, I've already mentioned, Jonas Karls, who's a talented left back from Schalke, but never was going to get an opportunity as well. John Iredale, the Australian, he is going to also play a part. He did miss out on the Olympics, which is a bit of a shame. However, he will be another offensive option. So they've got an interesting cluster of players as well, but yeah, I don't think the hopes are as high as they were perhaps in the previous couple of campaigns. Final game to preview from Group 2 is Sandhausen and Fortuna Düsseldorf. Of course, Sandhausen produced the great escape, even though it wasn't that great. But alas, they avoided the drop with the Gerhard Kleppinger and Stefan Kulowitz duo. They have been renewed. They will stay. And they have been very, very, very busy in the window. They've made some very impressive signings, including Bochum's second-choice goalkeeper, Patrick Drues, is going to be the number one, but also the signing of Emmanuel Horn, Sebio Suku, and Pascal Testrot. They've made a massive impression in the window. And they could be that team that surprises a lot. Obviously, don't think they'll get promoted, but I think they might be a team that could sneak into that, you know, top six, top nine echelon. They do lose quite a few players as well. I think they had 14 that they released at the end of the season, but they also were to lose Kevin Behrens going to Union Berlin, Emmanuel Tafetsoffer to VfL Wiesbaden. But the rest, not huge losses. Maybe Gerrit Neuber going to Go Ahead Eagles in the Netherlands. But they've managed to fill the hole there. So they've got an impressive squad of players that they've brought in, a lot of them with Zweite Bundesliga experience. They clearly have shown that they are not afraid to throw around a little bit of cash to tempt players to the Hartwald this season. So they will be very interesting to watch. I like what they've done, and I think they are in a position to make a relatively strong run this season. Let's talk Fortuna Düsseldorf then. They also a team of change. Christian Prusser is the new manager. And they've lost some big players too. I mean, the big one is Kenan Karaman going to Besiktas in the Turkish league. But it's been a relatively quiet window, Eva. You know, they've retained, of course, they re-signed Felix Klaus after they initially got him on loan. But yeah, a relatively quiet window for a team that I think a lot of people will be expecting will have a strong season.
Yeah, I'm not making the same mistake again and putting them first. I put them third, though. I do think, just from the quality, they're one of the teams that belongs there, at least in the top five. Obviously, I don't know if they will end up that. Still, please don't look at my predictions for last season. Oh, please do so. So then, you know, nothing to be angry about if your favorite team isn't in the place you want them to be, because normally I'm wrong anyway. I do think they, just as mentioned before, from the quality, they will be in that and have the expectations from themselves to be in the top flight of clubs. As you mentioned, not a lot of change. I do think them there. I do not really know what to expect from Christian Preußer, it's something to look forward to, I think. And we will know more after the first couple of games. But that goes for every other club here as well. But just from, I think Düsseldorf is especially like Nuremberg as well, but similar to Hannover and St. Pauli, they're in this mix of teams where I don't really know where to put them exactly.
Yeah, and which is understandable. One player in particular that I'm interested to watch will be Ayo Tanaka, the Japanese midfielder joining from Kawasaki Frontale. He has had a lot of buzz around him, and rightfully so, playing for a team that has bossed the J-League for a number of seasons. His opportunity to play in Europe, and I think someone that a lot of people will be keeping a keen eye on, someone who could really, really impress in that at Düsseldorf, who, yeah, with Preußer, they get the reset that they needed. I think the Uwe Reusler, they kind of kept him just for the sake of keeping him. It didn't really work. And, you know, as a result, they've had to start again. Some of the players they lose aren't huge losses, but you know, the question is, there are a lot of these guys like, you know, Dragos Nedelecu, the centre-back who they got from Romania. He gets an opportunity with the likes of Kevin Danso and Luka Krajnic leaving after their loan spells ended. So all there isn't a lot of change at Düsseldorf, mainly the manager and a couple of signings they're bringing in. Karl Ignaro is another one they're bringing in on a free from Hamburg. So we'll see. We'll see. I think Düsseldorf can be quietly good this season. I'm not going to reveal where I've got them yet, but until later on in the podcast, but yeah, I think they're a good chance of making a run this season. Let's take our final break. On the other side, we'll review the other three games that are happening this weekend and some predictions heading into the season. Let's start talking about our final three games of match day one and the season. Nuremberg are hosting Erzgebirge Aue, and the club will be looking to build on a better season than the previous campaign, of course, but they'll be looking to build under Robert Klaus. Either they've made some very interesting signings throughout the window. One thing definitely it seems of note is making sure they have some defensive stability. But what is it about this Nuremberg side that could make a push into that top half this season?
Well, I really like that they were able to keep Matsmela Dili, because I just love him to play in the Zweite Bundesliga. I just really like that guy. And as you've mentioned, really good signings. I mean, of course, Shuranov finally got his real contract, you could say. He's one of the players I'm really, really looking forward to for next season, because we saw what he could do. And also, speaking about see what someone or something could do, towards the end of last season, there were games where you can see when the rest of the team wants that, what Robert Klaus can do with that team. And that's why I'm kind of looking forward what might happen. I do see them being one of the teams that will be performing a bit better than last season, which isn't that difficult, obviously. But for me, they're one of the teams I do like what they have done. It's not much, but what they have done is quite okay. And yeah, that's why I've seen them somewhere in the top 10.
Yeah, I like what they've done too. I like Florian Hübner, someone with a lot of Zweite Bundesliga experience with Hannover and Union Berlin. Christopher Schindler, they bring in from Huddersfield, also has had experience in the Zweite Bundesliga. They've made some nice signings. And obviously, we've mentioned, you know, even mentioned Matsmola Daly, obviously a sweetheart of the the Zweite Bundesliga, and, you know, to get him at the price they did, to bring him home after a pretty tough spell in Belgium with Genk. He is someone who will bring them plenty of creativity in midfield. Let's talk about, and to their opponents, Erzgebirge Aue. They have a new manager this season, Alexei Shpilevsky, the Belarusian, taking charge from Dirk Schuster. You'll never know how many takes that took. He is one of the youngest managers in the Zweite Bundesliga this season. He has a very big task. They've lost some big name players this season. We've already mentioned Pascal Terstrot going to Sandhausen, but they've also lost their other main goal getter, Florian Kruger, who is going to Armenia Bielefeld only for $1 million, which is an absolute bargain. So who on their side is going to help them this season? We do look at all the usual suspects, like Jan Holscheider and the goalkeeping brilliance of Martin Manuel, but they've also brought in Dirk Carlson, the Luxembourg-American from Karlsruhe, Anthony Bayala, the right-back from Saarbrücken. They have not done a lot in the way of signings this season, but this will be one of their toughest tests to avoid relegation. We've seen it on many occasions that they've always found a way to get up under pressure. But this is going to be a tough one. I don't think they have the depth that they once had. They always lose. They also lose Louis Samson, who's going to Hallescher, and Steve Breitkreutz, the centre back. He's going to Regensburg. More on them later. It is going to be an arduous task. Nürnberg away is not ideally the best start of the season they would want. And there really is a lot in the air. No one really knows how good this Aue team can be. They really struggled away from home, as they typically do. They will have the fortune of having fans in the stadium, and we know the Erzgebirge Stadion is a fortress when Aue are playing at home with fans. So it's going to be a big ask for the new management, for Alexei Shpilevsky, and whether he can keep Erzgebirge Aue up for another season. But there will be optimism that they can do so. Philip Zulekta in particular will have to have a hell of a season unless they can get another striker who can help him up top. Let's move on to the other two sides who gained promotion last season. That was your Drittliga champions, Dynamo Dresden, and they finally won in the playoffs. Ingolstadt, who after a third time of asking, are back in the Zweite Bundesliga. Let's start with Dynamo Dresden. Alexander Schmidt picked up the pizzas from Martin Kalczynski. He's been rewarded with a deal that will keep him in charge of Dynamo Dresden. Eva, why don't you take us through Dresden as a whole? They've had a relatively busy window, bringing in some interesting players. What do you think their chances are? We know that probably relegation is something they will be trying to avoid. Is that realistic for this squad?
Well, I do think so. I mean, especially I think the biggest signing just from the clubs he was at, and what we know about him is Brendan Borrello, of course, fellow Australian. also, quick note on that, I'm a bit disappointed after they signed Antonis Idonis and Brendan Borrello. They haven't signed a third guy with the CC alliteration, but okay, that's fine for me. Idonis, of course, comes from Stuttgart. He might be a player to look out for as well. But yeah, a couple of U19 players from their own team, but also from Frankfurt or from Freiburg and Mainz second teams. So a relatively young team that can work, can go wrong at the same time. But just compared to the promoted side last season, I do see Dresden a bit better than Braunschweig or Würzburg, obviously. I do think, especially with the fans coming back, that might be a huge advantage they can have in this league, and obviously from all the tradition that club brings, it can help. I'm actually looking forward to a couple of games with them. We will see what they can do. I don't see them as kind of relegated side number one. We will see how this can work out. I do think they will have to fight to stay in the league. So around like 16th, 15th, that's where I would put them.
Yeah, I've got them in that kind of the bottom six. But we know that sometimes promoted teams can really pull the cat out of the hat, so to speak. I do like Brandon Brulo. He struggled last season, admittedly, at Dusseldorf. And, you know, part of that, he just couldn't get integrated into that sort of lineup, those tactics under Uwe Rösler. But he did say when he signed with Dresden that there was something that the game plan under Schmidt that really intrigued him. And, you know, he leaves Freiburg after not really having a fair crack at it. So he has a lot to prove, and obviously someone that I will watch intensely because he's an Australian, and, you know, hopefully he can galvanize his career with Dinamo. But Yongmin So is another one that I'll keep an eye on, the U19 South Korean who they got from Frankfurt's U19s. Talk about him being a very impressive player, and he's shown a bit. So he's someone that I think a lot of people will be interested in. Ingolstadt, they finally get over the hump. They've had a pretty quiet winter. I think the biggest thing that has happened to them is the change of manager. Thomas Oral is gone after finally getting them over the hump. Roberto Patzold, he was a junior coach at Ingolstadt for quite some time, did some stuff for the U17s and U19s. He is coming in. They haven't done much in the way of transfers. Jan-Henrik Marx from Wolf Mannheim at right back, and Yassin Benbala, he was from Eintracht Braunschweig, the French defensive midfielder. It's interesting times for Ingolstadt. I think for those who haven't watched them, players to look out for in particular will be Dennis Eckert Ayenza. He typically plays the joker role, much like Niels Petersen, but a lot faster. And a lot, you know, you'd probably use him more in the counter-attacking situations. Mark Stendera is someone who I think a lot of people would be very familiar with from his times at Eintracht Frankfurt. So, you know, they've got a nice squad. And I think out of the three promoted sides, I feel like they're the team that could really make a run at that sort of mid-table and separating themselves from the bottom six. But you just don't know. I think you know, can they get reliable goal scoring from Stefan Kuchka? Fatih Kaya is shown to be very good at the Dritte Liga level. Can he bring that in? And can they defend? I think the biggest problem they had in the Zweite Bundesliga last time out was that the defending was just atrocious. So we will see. They have the opportunity, and I think they are the best placed promoted side who can make a run at mid-table spots in the end. And that leaves our final two teams, which are Darmstadt and Jahn Regensburg. It's also been changed at Darmstadt, with Anfang leaving for Werder Bremen. They have brought in Thorsten Lieberknecht. And that was a surprise to a lot of us, I think, considering his recent stint at Duisburg was a bit of a fizzer. And of course, it kind of ended on rough terms with Eintracht Braunschweig. Eva, they have some big holes to replace. They've lost a couple of their really important players. I don't think they're in a position where, and speaking from a few months ago, where I thought they were a smoky to make a run at promotion, I feel a lot less confident about the squad than I did a few months ago.
Yeah, would agree with you. I'm not overly happy with that decision, with bringing Thorsten Lieberknecht in. I might be surprised in the end. Let's see how that goes. Probably their biggest signings are Lasse Sobich, who comes from a free transfer from FC Köln, and Philipp Tietz. Maybe he was at Wien Wiesbaden before. He's someone you might know as well. They're not, like, I don't really know what to make of them. They lost Viktor Paulsen to Schalke, Sedat Dusan to Fenerbahce, obviously. And a couple of players like Lars Lucas May. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I do think they will end up in this top 10 at some sort, but I don't see them playing a very stable season at all. I do think there will be a change of manager at some point. We will come to that later. But besides from just looking at the pure sports, Darmstadt's fan scene is among the couple of fan scenes that have organized some sort of help financially, but also just among clothes and stuff for people that were affected by the floods here in Germany, which I think is a really good sign what football can be about. I mean, we know all the horrible pictures from the Euros, of racism, openly racism as well, and to see that football can be about something else and those things. I mean, I don't want to say that we don't have that in fan scenes here as well, but it's a bit different. Of course, I think Borussia Dortmund and Borussia Mönchengladbach are organizing some kind of game for benefiting those who lost their lives, but also the a lot of valuable stuff. So that I think is a very good sign, and there will be also some sort of minute of silence on the weekend in both Bundesliga and Zweite Liga. We don't have Bundesliga on the weekend, sorry, but in the Zweite Liga. See, this is not working well for me. I think that is a very good sign. And to come back to Darmstadt, as mentioned, they're also in this mix of teams. I don't know where to put them. This is going great. The question will be, how are they going to replace Serdar Dursun up front?
Yeah, 27 goals of the 63 that Darmstadt scored throughout the season. There, as Eva mentioned, Philipp Tietz was one of them, but they've also brought in Luca Pfeiffer, who started this last season at Würzburg Kickers, then joined Midtjylland in Denmark. He comes in on loan. Some notable other signings: Lasse Sobiech from FC Köln on a free, and Morten Behrens, an ex-Hamburg goalkeeper. He joins on a free from Magdeburg to be the backup. I don't really know how I feel about Darmstadt. I'm not as confident as I was a few months ago. I think their team is good without being great. But we could all be proven wrong when they win their first six games and they're top of the league. And that leaves Jahn Regensburg as the last team to talk about in our season preview. They barely avoided relegation in what was a pretty underwhelming season for them. And they've lost a few notable names. Albion Vrenci, Sebastian Stolze are the big names. And a few players leaving on free transfers to seek opportunities elsewhere. The notable signings, Sarpreet Singh on loan from Bayern 2. He had one of the more interesting, let's say, announcement images, did the New Zealander, that may have caused some anguish with the many Regensburg fans, but he is a talented player. He had a tough time in Nürnberg, really couldn't find his feet, and with Bayern 2, of course, getting relegated, he needs to stay in the Dritte Liga and in the Zweite Bundesliga, and you know he can provide a bit if given the opportunity. Of course, we've mentioned Steve Breudkreutz, Eugen Yildirim scored a ton of goals for Veal. He was one of the top scorers in the Dritte Liga. He will give Jan a much needed scoring punch. They really struggled to find the back of the net last season. It's a modest window. I'm not entirely sure what some Jan fans were thinking they were going to attract this window during the transfer period. I think a lot of the players fit needs for them. They need a solid backup goalkeeper. If Alexander Meyer breaks his back from carrying the team defensively, they bring in a solid left back in Guevara, who has had experience in the Zweite Bundesliga with Kaiserslautern. So they are solid size signings. I guess they're not extravagant, but you know they will fit the void that they need, especially with a lot of the players who are leaving on loan or on a free transfer. As we have now reached the end of our preview, we thought we would answer some questions in regards to what could happen this season. We've got four of them, And I guess we'll start with a positive one to start with. And Eva, I'll get you to answer this one first. Who do you think will be the top scorer in the Zweite Bundesliga? I know it's hard to come up with a figure, but who do you think will win the Torjägerkanon this season?
Because I know what you're picking, yeah, and I didn't want to be lame. I'm actually picking Robert Glatzel.
just shoot me down. I'm going to go the boring pick, and I am just ambitious and maybe a little bit biased here, but I've got Simon Terodde, hoping that he can at least score another 20 goals. I understand he's entering the you know, his early 30s, and I mean, the fact he scored 24 goals for a Hamburg side that, you know, was really inconsistent towards the end of the season. Augusti scored most of his goals early on. I think he can be the guy. It's just the question is the team around him going to be able to provide him the service he desires? Let's potentially talk about managers, because there have been a lot of changes, and it would be fair to say there are a lot of teams that don't really have a hot seat. So I know Eva kind of teased it, but who do you think will be the first coach to get the axe this season?
Yeah, it was a decision between two coaches, actually. The other one was Tim Walter, by the way. I'm going with Thorsten Lieberknecht. I'm sorry. I know he's a Braunschweig legend, but I just can't see it, really.
Understandable. I think we were all surprised when the announcement happened. And, yeah, we'll see. Big task ahead at Darmstadt. I've gone with Jan Regensburg's Mursad Salimbegovic. Out of the teams towards that sort of where we think they might be in that bottom six, bottom half of the table, they were super disappointing last season. I know we expected them to be where they were, but there were a lot of games where they were just absolutely hopeless. So, for me, I feel like Jan will think that they are in a position where they should be in that kind of top, you know, that mid-table, closing into the top half. I think Salimbegovic, if he has a poor start, I think he will be the first to get the chop. With the Pokal a few weeks away, there are some interesting matchups we've seen in the past few seasons. Zweite Bundesliga teams make a run, even going all the way to the semi-final. So, Eva, who is your pick to make a run, the furthest run out of Zweite Bundesliga teams in the Pokal?
I'm actually picking Hannover. I don't know why. It's very difficult. I know we talked about this before recording, and we looked through all the fixtures, because there are way too many that you can actually keep them in mind. And for me, they look like they could do it. And I have the feeling they could be one of the teams that is not doing so well in the league, but is doing quite well in the Pokal. Don't ask me which round they will. And I mean, imagine if all of the Zweite Liga sides will be out in the first round and only Hannover comes to the second round and then it's out for them as well. I'm still right, though.
I mean, that's not possible because, of course, Paderborn are playing Dresden and there are a couple of Zweite Bundesliga matchups. Alas, I will go with Karlsruhe. I'm not entirely sure why. I just feel like they've got a team that can really equip itself to knockout football. And, I love me some Jerome Gondorf energies. So I think he will lead a charge as they make a run at the Pokal. And lastly, our top three. We won't release our full table, as mentioned, on Thursday, but we'll give you a glimpse of what our top three look like. Eva already has mentioned Hamburg to be top of the league and winning the championship. Who is second and third for you?
Yeah, second I have Heidenheim, mentioned before that as well in some parts. And then third, it's Düsseldorf for me.
All right. I have Bremen, and after reading some news about what Clemens Fritz is doing, I feel even less confident about Werder than I don't know why I've got them top, just because it's crazy. Fortuna Düsseldorf second and Schalke third, although, again, You could make a case for a number of teams to be in that top three. That is how tight this league is going to be. Thank you so much for joining us for episode one. It was a little bit crazy, we must admit, but we got there in the end. We hope you join us next week when we review all the action from match day one. Of course, stay safe and we'll see you next time.